Welcome to Encore, brought to you each week by BoomersPlus.com. I'm Kostas Halvrazos. The election of Donald Trump in the United States and his intention to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement has suddenly brought Canada's former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney back into the national conversation. As a friend of President Trump and an architect of both the original Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement and NAFTA, Mr. Mulroney has been advising the Trudeau government on how to approach any renegotiations. At the same time, his voice is being heard on such subjects as the growing concerns over Russia's military threat and Canada's place in NATO. Mr. Mulroney, welcome to Encore.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
How does it feel to be advising the son of Pierre Trudeau and a Liberal majority government?
Well, that was then and now is now. You can't live in the past. And when I was approached, I knew, of course, and said that there is no Liberal way to negotiate a comprehensive free trade agreement with the United States, and there's no Conservative way. There's only a Canadian way. And so I was happy to try and help out.
President Trump campaigned on America First rhetoric, and he really doubled down on that in his inauguration speech. But how hard would it be for the Americans to translate that into a negotiating stance with its largest trading partner, Canada?
Well, you know, Mario Cuomo used to say that you campaign in poetry, but you govern in prose. And President Trump is finding out as that which we all found out, that governing is entirely different from campaigning. And so you have to be more practical and more conscious of the economic realities and the impacts that it'll have on ordinary people. And I think that it's been brought to President Trump's attention that there are approximately 12 or 13 million jobs in the United States that depend directly upon trade with their NAFTA partners. And so this is a huge asset for the United States. And I think they've come around to realizing it. And I hope that they'll be conscious of that when the negotiations begin in late August.
It was interesting you mentioned Mario Cuomo, but now another Cuomo, the governor of New York. He was sniffing the winds in Trump's America. He introduced a Buy American provision in his state budget, which would have shut out Canadian companies bidding on contracts of more than $100,000. But then he rolled that back after pretty solid lobbying from Ontario and Quebec. Can you see that kind of pushback working with other governors and states?
And senators. Canada is the biggest purchaser of goods and services from 35 American states. That means millions of jobs in those states. Each state has two senators. 35 of the states means 70 senators out of 100 in the United States Congress. The president has to be very conscious of this. And you know how independent American senators are. I remember when there was a threat by someone to tear up NAFTA. And the immediate reaction was from John McCain, who made a major speech indicating how vital NAFTA was to Arizona, and John Cornyn from Texas, the number two man in the United States Senate, who said that NAFTA was indispensable to the economic well-being of Texas. That's not going to happen. The United States Senate is not going to allow that to happen.
How important will lobbying state governors and even big city mayors, people at that level, be in curbing an America First stance by the White House?
Oh, I think it's all important. I think that by and large, governors who are influential with their senators and representatives can be very helpful, as can senators, as can important mayors across the United States. And I know that Canada has been doing quite a major job in sending out all kinds of emissaries to meet with these people so that their voices can rise in concert, advising the White House not to place NAFTA in jeopardy because it means too much economically to them. And so I hope that voice is getting through. I think it is, because there seems to be a more mature tone about the entire operation these days.
Let's get back to the personal side of your connections with the Trump administration. How well do you know Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce?
Well, I know a number of them very well. well, and have over many years. I mean, I just didn't meet President Trump the other day. I've known him for, I'm not an intimate friend, don't misunderstand me, but I've been friendly with him for 20 or 25 years. And the same thing with Wilbur Ross, and the same thing with many others there. At least, you know, they take your calls and they listen to what you have to say.
But Ross said that free trade is like free lunch. There is no free lunch. Somebody wins and somebody loses. And then he went on to sing from the Trump hymn book that America had been losing under what he called stupid deals.
Well, remember, they say that because they campaigned on it and they got elected on it. But it doesn't happen to be accurate. NAFTA has been an excellent deal for America, for Mexico, and for Canada. That's the conclusion that the facts bear out. So I wouldn't pay too much attention to anything other than that.
You're listening to Encore, sponsored by BoomersPlus.com, the website where retired men and women with years of career experience connect with employers seeking their expertise for short-term assignments. My guest today is Canada's former Prime Minister, Brian Mulroney, whose government negotiated the Canada-US FTA and then NAFTA, which included Mexico. And now, a generation after the pact was signed, he's helping prepare the Canadian government for its renegotiation. My name is Costas Halavrezos. Mr. Mulroney, there is some speculation out there that President Trump won't be able to complete his term of office, that he might be impeached or just lose interest someday. What are the prospects for him to complete his term?
Well, of course he's going to complete his term. The rest of this stuff is nonsense. This is all wishful thinking by some of his opponents, that's all. You know, I can remember when Pierre Trudeau started out many years ago, and some people would say, well, you know, if he gets angry enough and he's just irritated enough, he's just going to quit and say, to hell with it. And I used to say, you guys don't know Trudeau as well as I do, believe me. You're going to have to get him out of there with a crowbar. He's going to hang in until the last dog dies. And I think that's going to be the same with, this is not a criticism. The fact of the matter, it's like that with most people who achieve the top rung in the political ladder. We all tend to be alike. You know, once you get there, you want to make certain that your agenda is implemented. And believe me, President Trump is going nowhere. He's staying right there.
Well, let's move on to who might renegotiate NAFTA this time around. The first time around, you had Simon Reisman, who was very brash and forceful. Some people even said that his style was un-Canadian. How much can the personal style of the negotiator affect negotiations?
Well, Simon Reisman was very Canadian. He was as tough as nails. He had been at the GATT. He negotiated the Auto Pact in 1964 for Prime Minister Pearson. He was Deputy Minister of Finance for John Turner. He was a lifelong outstanding public servant. So I picked Simon. He happened also to be as tough as nails, but he also happened to be, he didn't hide his light under any bushel. And so he took the Americans on full bore. And I think that was his style. It was effective. I think that the team that I see emerging that Mr. Trudeau has put together strikes me as being first class, and I think they're going to do a first class job.
You said recently that Canadians should take a Valium when expressing fears about Russia's military threat. What did you mean by that?
Well, I just think that the fears that are expressed about Russia are significantly exaggerated. This is no longer the Soviet Union with a huge GDP and a large portion of that being assigned to defense. This is pretty well a broken down economy, which in spite of the fact that they've got 135 million people, is not significantly larger than Canada's in terms of GDP. And so they are ill-equipped to cause trouble for the United States, which is a $20 trillion a year economy. So I just think there's too much alarm being expressed at Russia's capabilities. I think we should be careful, however, with them because they have nuclear weapons. And Canada has been involved for many years, and that's an area where we can be constructive and helpful with the Russians is in terms of the storing and the securing and the safety of those nuclear weapons as they grow older and deteriorate and decay in some ways, then, you know, our help and the help of similar nations is very, very influential. But generally speaking, there's not a whole hell of a lot that the Russians can do to cause real significant problems for America or for NATO or for the world.
So to a certain extent, is it similar to what was going on in the last few years of the Soviet regime, that in fact Russia is now a lot more fragile than some people are thinking?
Well, indeed. You know, those CIA assessments of the strength of the Soviet economy turned out to be completely wrong. The decay had set in totally in the Soviet Union, and very few people knew about it, except those who visited from the West. I can remember going there myself for the first time and just being blown away by the not only the corruption in the place, but the lack of facilities, the decay in their system. It was appalling to have to live in some of such circumstances, and yet they held hundreds of millions of people in subjugation through military force and through the discipline, the iron discipline of 70 years of dictatorship. I don't think it's the same now, because there's a lot going on in Russia that reflects the realities of an economy that is much more private sector oriented than ever in the past. There's the internet and freedom and so on bubbling along. It's suppressed often in Moscow. But generally speaking, it's a better situation, obviously, than what citizens of the Soviet Union enjoyed or lived with for many, many years.
Now, we only have a few minutes left. Your daughter, Caroline, recently hinted at political ambitions. How do you feel about another Mulroney entering politics?
She'll make up her own mind as to what she would like to do. But she's a remarkable young woman, and she has four children and four young children. So that's a big factor with her, always was. She's a lawyer, graduated from Harvard and NYU, practiced law at a major firm in New York, worked on Wall Street for 3 years, and is now vice president of Bloomberg Sen in Toronto, a financial house. So she's got, and she created this Shoebox Project, which is a charity that looks after providing for women at Christmas who live in shelters, who've been abused and beaten and so on. They provide these lovely gifts to every one of them and spread across Canada and the United States. So she's a wonderful young woman and with a big heart. And so if she ran, I think she'd have a good chance of being successful.
Spoken like a proud father. Mr. Mulroney, thank you for joining us on Encore.
Happy to do it. Thank you very much.
Our guest on Encore has been former Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney. He's now assisting the Trudeau government as it prepares for renegotiations of the North American Free Trade Agreement with the U.S. and Mexico. The landmark agreement he signed 25 years ago was an outstanding achievement of his administration. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send us an email. The address is encore@boomersplus.com. And now would be an excellent time to visit the website at boomersplus.com. If you're a recent retiree or approaching retirement, go to the website to connect with employers who are eager to tap your years of career experience for short-term assignments. If you're an employer, boomersplus.com is the place to find the seasoned professionals you need without all the hassle of traditional recruiting methods. Simply go to boomersplus.com and register now. It's free. Tune into Encore each week at this time to meet men and women who'll share the insights they've gained and the new opportunities they see in work, leisure, and health for Canadians aged 50 and up. Because experience never retires. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Have a great week.